عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم الحمد لله with the fazal karam and ihsan of Allah Ta'ala Allah Rabbul Izzat has allowed for us to sit in his house and make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has blessed us with. So Alhamdulillah, each one of us, from the time we are born, even before we knew ourselves, everybody was worried about our well-being. From the time we are still in the womb of the mother, the parents are worried about the well-being of this fetus. Eventually, when the mother gives birth, then immediately everybody is checking now. How many fingers, how many toes, what are the reflexes? So much so that if the baby doesn't cry, then they'll give one shot also to see. Now this baby must cry because it must breathe, must take a breath, the lungs must work. After 1 week, must go to the doctor, and the doctor must do a checkup again. Everything is okay with this child. And then as we grow up, and we start becoming conscious, then we too start worrying about ourselves. My hair must be right. My clothing must be right. My body must be right. And then as we get older, then we start realizing our health is now deteriorating. So then we start visiting the Hakims and we start getting tips from others our age that now I got this problem, what they prescribed for you, you got that problem, what they prescribed for you. And this continues, but all this fikr is only with regards to our physical body. From the time, even before we are born, they are only concerned about does the baby have a heartbeat. And now with technology and those people that are into all those things, Allah save us, then they even want to know now what is the gender of the child. From the womb, they're telling you now the child got 5 fingers or 5 toes or... And insan thinks that insan is progressing. Insan thinks that insan is progressing. That now we can even see in the womb. But insan's knowledge is still very, very limited. With all their technology, they cannot tell us how many strands of hair this baby will have. And what will be the lifespan of this baby, and how much of food this baby will eat, and when will this baby pass away. All that is in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Allah ta'ala. But the point that we are now concentrating on is all the fikr, everything is on the physical body. The physical body is actually just a conveyance. It's just a conveyance. It's like a person, initially when he started work, then he was driving a Toyota Taz. That was his conveyance. He was going up and down to work. Then after that, Allah Ta'ala blessed him. Then he bought one Toyota Corolla. So he changed the conveyance. And later on, maybe he bought one Toyota, I don't know what they're making after that. He bought one Fortuner. So now that became his conveyance. But that doesn't change the person. The conveyance changed. So this body that we have, it is just a conveyance to go through the life of this world. This is not the body that we are going to have in the Akhirat. In the Akhirat, Allah Ta'ala is going to give us a different body. This body is too weak. It's like our motor car, even if a person has got a top motor car. But can it take him for Umrah? No. You take him to the airport. After that he has to get off that motor car. And if he wants to fly in the air, then he needs a different conveyance. So now he will have to go into the aeroplane. That will become the conveyance. Now the aeroplane can take, it can fly all the different weather that's taking place in the skies there. It can bear all of that. The speeds it can move. The motor car can't come anywhere close. So like that, in the Akhirat, the enjoyments that Allah Ta'ala has kept for the Akhirat, the type of life, you see this body of ours, the physical body, it changes. First it is very weak, then it becomes strong. Then when it reaches its peak, it starts going downhill. No matter how much exercise you do, no matter how health conscious you are or whatever, it starts going downhill. And eventually it reaches a stage where it can't move. The person passes away, he can't even open one eyelid also. So weak it becomes. The life of the Akhirat, this is a life that is forever. So it can't have a body that is going to deteriorate. So the body that Allah Ta'ala has kept for the Akhirat, that is a body that doesn't age. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't get old. There's no such thing as vicissitudes. No such thing as changing of life. And see, one age the person will be. One health, perfect health. That's a different conveyance. So if these are just conveyances, then who am I? If this is just a conveyance, this body of mine is a conveyance, then who am I? Allah Ta'ala created the arwah, Allah Ta'ala created the souls, and all the souls were presented to Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So me and you also, we were presented. So that time we were in a different body. Then Allah Ta'ala made it that that soul was blown into the womb of our mother. When our mother conceived, still we were not there. That was just the fluid from the body of the father entering the womb of the mother. We were nowhere in the picture. That drop of blood becomes a lump of flesh. We still nowhere in the picture. That lump of flesh which progressed and became this body, that is that lump of flesh. That's not me and you. After a certain period of time, Allah Ta'ala sends the angel. The angel comes and blows life into that lump of flesh. That life is what? That is who we are. That ruh that was blown in, that is who we are. One day in Binoni, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib, Dama Barakatuhu, was giving a bayan. So then he asked a question. He said that, can all of you see me? Now people may have been thinking he wants to know, as the speaker, everybody is comfortable, they can see him. So everybody said, yeah, no, we can see you. So he said, anybody can't see me, pick up your hand. So nobody picked up their hand. So we can all see you. So then he asked a question. He said that, see, if I have to pass away now, and I fall down here, I pass away now, fall down, Now, what will you call me? He said, now you say, the lash is there. What time is the body coming? Then people ask, they ask the burial society people, what time you're picking up the body? What time you bring in the body? Where's the mayat? Which house? Where's the mayat? Why you don't talk at that time? Where's Ibrahim bhai? Where's Yusuf bhai? No, nobody says Yusuf bhai is here. Even the family people, when they come, not to say you must keep opening the face and all that, but when the family people come, they ask, you want to see the face? Do they say, you want to see Ibrahim bhai? You want to sit with Ibrahim bhai? No, you want to see the face. So what does that tell us? As soon as the ruh went away, the body lost its identity. The ruh went away. Allah Pak took the ruh away. The body lost its identity now. So that shows that this physical body is not us. This physical body is a conveyance. It is a necessary conveyance to go through this worldly life. Right? Once this worldly life is over, there's no need for this body. Now Allah Ta'ala will give us another body. This body cannot enjoy the pleasures of Jannah. It doesn't have the capacity. Doesn't have the capacity to enjoy the pleasures of Jannah. The pleasures of Jannah is something else. Allah Ta'ala will give us that kind of body. This eyes cannot see Allah Ta'ala. It can't see one small makhluk of Allah, which is called the sun. Can't stare at the sun. So Allah Ta'ala will give us eyes in the akhirat by which we'll be able to see Allah Ta'ala. So now, this ruh, we are saying that this ruh is who we are. So this ruh, what is it made up of? What is it made up of? The body, we know that Allah Ta'ala created from clay. Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala made his body from clay. And then after that, Allah Ta'ala put the system. Ma Hawa was created from the body of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. And after that, Allah Ta'ala put the system of procreation. Right? But our origin is clay. So this ruh of ours, this is a body that is not from this world. This clay is from the world. So when we say minha khalaqnakum wa fiha nu'idukum wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra, that is this body. This body, Allah, we have been created from this earth, and we will be returned from this earth to this earth, and then we'll be resurrected again from this earth. Right? So this ruh, this is not from this dunya. The ruh, the angel brings it and blows it into that lump of flesh. The ruh is not from here. So the ruh is the thing that is going to journey to the hereafter. First to barzakh and then to the hereafter. So this ruh of ours, this inside body, who we really are, right? What is it made up of? This human torso, you say it got a head, it got the upper body, got the lower body, got the hands, and then you got your internal organs. Right? So this ruh, what is it made up of? So Hazrat Ji Maulana Masroor Rahmatullah Ali, he explains that this ruh, its makeup is of five things. Its makeup is of five things. The first thing is the aqal. The aqal, not the brain. The aqal, the intellect of man, the intelligence of man. This intelligence it has to go hand in hand with ilm, with knowledge. Otherwise it's useless. If there's no ilm, if there's no knowledge, then what is the purpose of the akal? So there has to be ilm. So these two things, they go together, ilm and akal. Ilm, when we're talking about ilm, we're talking about ilm-e-deen. Schooling, secular education, this is not ilm. Knowledge, worldly knowledge is very important. Worldly knowledge is important. What is worldly knowledge? Worldly knowledge, how to survive, how to go through this dunya, how to earn a rozi, how to build a house, how to catch a fish, how to hunt an animal, how to sew some clothing. All this is worldly knowledge. It's imperative. It's very, very important. Otherwise, how are you going to go through the world? You need worldly knowledge. So that is worldly knowledge. But when we talk about ilm, ilm is ilm-e-deen. It is the ilm that takes us closer to the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala. Who is my Allah? How am I going to please my Allah? How am I going to become closer to my Allah? That ilm is the real ilm. Now when it comes to this ilm, we ask ourselves that how much of time am I taking out to acquire this ilm? So now we say to ourselves, we pat ourselves on the back and we say that, look, yes, to acquire ilm is faraz. To acquire ilm is faraz. But the acquisition of which ilm is faraz? So we become technical when it comes to our deen now. So the acquisition of which ilm is faraz? No, the acquisition of that much that you must be able to differentiate between halal and haram. You must know what is your faraiz. You must know what is jaiz, na jaiz. That much of ilm is faraz. And then we stop. We send the child up to primary school, learned how to read Quran Sharif, learned the five pillars of Islam, learned how to read namaz, which is all very, very important, learned how to read the kalimas, etc. And after that, khalas. We say, no, we acquired our ilm-e-deen now. That much which is necessary for us to acquire, we acquired it. And then if the child is making too much naughty, put him in one hips class, way. The wife is complaining, she can't control him. When I come home from work, she's taking off with me, he did this, he did that, all right, one. Put him in one hips class in the afternoon and let him carry on. When it comes to rozi, for the physical body, to acquire rizq for the physical body, this is also faraz. How much is faraz? How much is faraz? But there we don't come with that masla. There our brain doesn't work to say that, you know what, alright, I open the shop, I need 100 rand, I can buy a loaf of bread, I can buy one milk, my whole family can eat, right? I don't need anything more. Let me close shop and go home. No. There, like Allah is giving barakat. How you can close your door? Allah is sending rozi. How you can close your door? When it comes to our clothing, to clothe this body. Right? So, that same calico that we shroud the mayat with, that same calico will do to cover our bodies. Right? But there we don't suffice just on that. There we say, no, man, I need this kind kapru, I need that kind topi, I need this kind vest, I need that. My socks must be of this kind, then my shoe must be of that kind, then I need one shoe just to go toilet. I need one shoe to just go masjid and come. My working shoe, then my hiking shoe, then my biking shoe. So many different shoes. There we don't just sit on what is for us. But all that is for the physical body which is going to perish. Is from dust is going to turn to dust. It's going to stay here. And the thing to embellish our ruh, ilm, there we sufficing on primary education. Maktab, karas, that much is sufficient. So this ilm-e-deen, one of our asatiza, Maulana Hassan Dokrat Sahib, Alhamdulillah, Maulana got a darul room in Robertsham area. Maulana's tamanna is his wish. Right? He says, you see, each and every child, each and every Muslim child must go through this course. Otherwise, how he's going to understand his deen? I'm not saying it's for us. This Maulana's tamanna. Now, not every person would be able to maybe take out 6 years, 7 years, go study, become an ani. But the question I need to ask myself is that every day I'm going to work. Every day I'm running my shop, my profession, my whatever. And for hours on end, whole 8-10 hours a day, right? How much time am I taking out for ilm-e-deen? The Jamaat brothers, Allah Ta'ala give them jazai khair. They will sit and make some ta'neem in the masjid, either after Maghrib, after Isha or something. Do I even just sit there? 5 minutes, 7 minutes, just around. There I'll find a problem with the satis. Hey, Jamaat brothers, no. They bring anything, carry on. But then, what time am I taking out to learn my deen? I did Quran Sharif primary level. I finished my Nazra. From the time I completed my Nazra Quran Sharif in Maktab, one time in my life did I read my Quran Sharif to somebody else. To just check up, that, you know what, am I still reading right? Are there mistakes? The Huffaz, they reading door so much, yet they spent years learning Quran Sharif. And we are non-Huffaz, am I taking out time to go and read my Quran Sharif to somebody? My du'as for Salah, right? My du'a kunut, my tashahud, my durud. The last time I read it to my apa, or my morana in the maktab. One time after that, did I go to the molisab in the masjid? You know what? Just listen to my dua kunut. Am I reading it right? Or some mistake? We were 30 children in the class that time, grade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all in one. We were learning our duas. Maybe apa, bichara, now she didn't hear properly. I was making one mistake. Did I go and check it up by somebody, my dua kunut, my tashahud, my surahs? This is the basics, our basics, just for our salah to be right. What about everything else in my deen, in my life? Just now, we had a program before salah with some brothers who are caught up in this sickness of intoxicants, you know, the weakness of intoxicants. So we had a little program with them. So I was telling them, I said, see, boy, there's certain gunas in the community the parents get very worried about. One is drugs. The other one is gambling. The fellow starts gambling or he starts drugging, everybody is worried. Why are they worried? Not because it's a guna. They're worried because if this fellow, he becomes a compulsive gambler, or if he becomes an addict, all our money is going to go. The fikr is the dunya. The fikr is not the akhirat. It's not the deen of the person. If the fikr was the deen of the person, then the day my son came home with a haircut of 2 length hair, I would have put him in the car and taken him back to the barber shop and told him that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's curse is on you. How are you going to be here in the house? So I'm taking it back to the barber shop and make it 1 length. When I saw my child with his ijad is gone over his ankles, then at the same time I would have taken him to the tailor and told him, I sort this thing out. Otherwise in the day of Qiyamah, Allah Pak is not going to look at you with eyes of mercy. But you see, that's not hurting my business. He's still coming, he's doing his thing, he's studying in school properly, whatever he may be doing, is not affecting our life. So the fikr is our life. The fikr is not the akhirat. So I was explaining to them that see, if you got this 2 sicknesses in you, community looks down on you. So much so that by we can't have this fellow in the house also. Just establish one rehab center and put him inside. He must keep him there till he gets rid of this bimari. Because this is a big guna, isn't it? The community must rally together and they must put money together to establish the thing. And pay whoever needs to be paid. Whatever amount, just keep them, they must sort this thing out. But if we look around in our community, how many of us involved in interest? Interest dealings, how many people involved? Motor cars on interest, homes on interest, so many things on interest. But we got no rehab center for that. We got no rehab center. Take all the people who are addicted to interest dealings, put them there, sort it out, because they are waging war with Allah Pak. How are we going to sort this guna out now? Why? Because there, outwardly, we see that our dunya is flourishing. So no problem, no fikr for that. By ask ourselves a question, right? We as mu'minin, you know, the other day, one of my satis, his son was getting married. No? So he phoned me, he said, Maulana, you know what, when son's nikah is taking place, give some advice. No? So I told him, I said, see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no recorded incident in his whole Mubarak life. There's no recorded incident that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate sitting on a chair at a table. Right? So, what you do, put dastarkhan. Have 1-2 tables for mazur people. Somebody's leg is broken. Somebody is 89.5 years old, can't go down. You know, something like that. It's a different story, somebody already, right? Somebody got some bimari, something. But majority should be dastarkhan. 1-2 tables if you have, understandable. Right? Number one. Number two, I told him, have total segregation, right? Well, that's our deen. Our ladies must be totally separate, men must be totally separate. And then I told him, I said, I don't know how you're going to overcome this one, but put one dastarkhan for the ladies too. Because generally we put a dastarkhan for the men. But the ladies, even those from good homes, if you talk to them about dastarkhan, how are we going to sit down? They drop this down. It's not all that. It's this funny kind of clothing that they want to wear. They can't go down with this. And then where are they going to take out that high heel shoes and keep and all? And then the handbag. So it just doesn't go because the whole outfit is a kuffar style. Now how are you going to go and do sunnat now? So I told him, I said, never mind, but you just put one dastarkhan. So he met me some time later and he said, Mohan, I want to tell you something. We put a dastarkhan for the ladies. And some ladies came and they sat down on the dastarkhan. So, Morana, we had to start folding the tables. We had to start folding the tables because ladies, they feel embarrassed quickly. Ladies, they feel embarrassed quickly. So now, if the other ones are sitting down, how are we going to sit on the table and chair? So, he said, we had to start folding the tables. He told me, by the time we finished off, at least 40% of the ladies who were there sat on the dastarkhan. Right? But I ask you in our functions, whether it's our hymns, jalsas, right? I'm not talking about the ones that happen in the dargu rooms, I'm talking about the ones that happen after, out of the dargu rooms. Right? If you want to see the sunnah, go to the ijtima. How everybody sits down on the floor and they eat in the ijtima? But why is it that when we have functions, now what we do, the people who want to follow the sunnah, so they are made like they got a sickness or something. A corner ma, put one dastarkhan there, some loko taak jayenge. Hunkarwa. Why is like that? It's supposed to be full dastarkhan. In the corner you got one chair for that man who can't go down. So put him there, the mazur, put him there. But it's gone the opposite way around. The same with the big functions, there's no parda. Then in one corner they make like a kral. Make a kral there, one sec. So all you sick people who are in parda, you're going around. All you sick men who don't want to look at the woman, you're go that side going. And the rest, sab kuch andar, maskarandar, tamasha is carrying on. It is a Muslim gathering. And we with our beards, with our kurtas, with our everything, we will sit there. Mauli sahab, tablighi sahab, khanka sahab, everything. After the thing is over, then we'll write a letter to our sheikh. Hazrat, no, I went for this function here. You know, what did we? As Mohan Patel sahab rahmatullahi used to say, you are namak haram. You sit around there and eat all the food. If you saw all these evils, why you didn't stand up and walk out? You sit down, they eat all the food and now you're complaining. So our fikr, our ilm, number one, we don't have that ilm. So how is the brain gonna function in a line of deen? When that ilm is not there. If the child is not taught, you see, the child is seeing the soccer player, he's seeing the actor, he's seeing the people outside. Hey, this is gone such a sickness. I don't know if it's a sickness here in Lens. But it's gone such a sickness. This two-length haircut. That I was in a nikah, to perform a nikah. Now normally in nikah you keep things light. I mean, it's a happy occasion. You don't give like heavy, but you don't give this kind of bayan in the nikah. You know? You keep it light. Like, you know, it's a nikah. It's now the... The groom, he'll get frightened, the bride will get frightened. So you just keep things easy, right? But wallahi, I was sitting in that masjid. The groom, he had this haircut which is known as qaza in the hadith. He shaved and then... The bride's father was like that. Both the witnesses were like that. The groom's father was like that. And then I looked in the majma and I'm seeing so many people like that. So I said, you know what, this occasion of nikah, normally we don't talk these things. But I'm being forced to say this thing. That this thing has become so armed. How come? How come? How come we are allowing it as an ummah? As an ummah, our focus is only the world now. Whereas our focus is supposed to be the hereafter. Just turn the clock back little bit. Turn the clock back little bit. Any uncle in the community, any musalli in the community, could reprimand anybody's child. If that person saw the child doing something wrong, whom correct? Must I tell your father? Today, forget that fellow telling, must I tell your father? If you try to tell the son, tell, hey, I'll call my father. He's got so much, he's so bold, because his father is being wrong, and he's being wrong with his father. So, the father not going to shout him for the wrong that he's doing. So he's bold, I'm going to call my father. Who you to tell me? So this ilm, we have to acquire ilm-e-deen. If we don't acquire ilm-e-deen, we're filling the akal with things that are only for the world. The whole akal is getting filled with things only for the world. And the kuffar system, slowly but slowly, is taking us towards atheism, taking us towards shirk, taking us towards a godless society. If you have to check up what they taught us in school and what they're teaching our children now in school, what our grandfathers learned in school, you know, Allah maaf kare, Allah forgive us. When we were in school, they started music classes. Music. So, the Muslim parents, they got together and they approached the principal to say that, you know what, you can't have music, our children, music is haram for us Muslims and everything. So what the principal, he made a concession. What concession? He says, see, no problem, they don't have to sing. They may just sit down in the class one side. They don't have to actively participate in this thing. But they must sit down in the class one side. But now, sitting down in the class one side, are you not exposed to that thing? You're still exposed to it. Right? But our parents, Allah give them desire khair, their ilm was up to that point. So at least they went and spoke that much. So they felt, okay, our child is not singing. But being exposed to that music, that in itself is so bad. Now that was like the worst thing happening that time in the school. Today what they're teaching our children? I mean, do you have to teach a grade 3 child, grade 4 child, that no, maybe you can, you're supposed to be a girl. If you want to be a girl, you can be a girl. And it's worse, in some places they tell you if you want to be a dog, you must be a dog. One youngster was telling me, he's a university student, so he went to the States in Jamaat. Right? But because now he is a university student, now they'll take to meet all the university students and all that. So he said they took them to one university. He gave me the name and all that. Now I forgot what which one it was. But he says, that university, 80% of the presidents of the United States of America are graduates of there. They came out from that university. So he's a top, some top university. So he said he went there, now they're taking him around, showing him this, that, that. He said eventually he came to one grass patch there. He's seeing these students, they're on their fours, you know. So he asked that rehbar, he said, well, what's happening here? Just keep quiet. So later on when they came out from the university, the fellow is telling him, no, those students, they identify as dogs and cats and all that, so they got the area there, they can behave as dogs. We think they're teaching, giving people knowledge in the university. They're teaching you from Ashraful Makhlukat, you can reduce yourself to being a dog. They're barking, they're meowing, everything they do. So are they giving you education? So some people they say, but Maulana, so much of good also they're teaching. So much of good also they're teaching. Now these one, two things here, you can ignore it. Don't worry about it. Tell the child that don't get involved in this. So give the child the cell phone and tell him, see, there's a lot of good things. And there's a couple haram things also. Don't get involved in the haram. How many children can stay away from the haram? When it comes to these things, then we say, no, man, our children are responsible, you know. Children are responsible. They won't get influenced with these things. They won't get involved in these things. But when it comes to your paiha, why you don't give him all your codes and everything? You leave all the cards with him. Give him all your bank accounts, all the codes, everything, your computer, everything. Tell him where all the jana is. Tell him where you got your Kruger coins. Everything, give it to him. And tell him, see here, what you do. Only what you need, 10 rand, 20 rand for your spending, you take it from there. The rest of it, just keep it. That you won't do. You don't do that. That time you say, no man, the children, they're not responsible enough. When your 19-year-old, 20-year-old comes to you and he says, Papa, I think I need to get married, man. You still wet behind your ears, what do you want to get married? See, so you're still too irresponsible. You can't get married. But he's very responsible to be faced with atheism, to be faced with shirk, to be faced with a godless science. There he became, no, Maro Poiroto, he won't get involved. All those girls look, no, he won't look at all those girls. He won't. There he became very responsible. Why? Fikr for dunya. The fikr is the world. That my daughter also, she can go through that sewage farm, what they call a university. No problem. No problem. Why? Because she needs to get her degree. She needs to be able to work. She needs to be able to earn. And today then we're asking ourselves, what's happening with the Muslim community? The Muslim community is who? Is me and you and our kids. So it's the road we're taking. What we putting into that akal. We supposed to be putting ilm-e-deen. Ilm-e-deen is supposed to go into that akal. What are we putting in that akal? What we allowing to go into that akal? So this ilm and akal, that is the first two things that is the body of this ruh. The third thing is ghadab. Ghadab. Ghadab is anger. We translate it as anger. But this anger, you see, every person has got anger. There's no person that doesn't have anger. Each and every person, Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with anger. You have to have anger. Right? But if the akal is right, and you got the right ilm, then this anger will be in equilibrium. There will be adal. Adal will be governing this anger. A person will know when to get angry. A person will know to what extent I need to show my anger. And a person will know when to keep the anger away. Now if you're driving, and somebody came and cut in front of you. They just came cut in front of you. Now at that time, I'm not supposed to get angry. There's not supposed to be anger. In fact, our Hazrat Muhammad Abdullah Magda Sahib, he says, why you looked? You see, why you looked at that person? Why did you even look at that motor car? You just carry on with your life. Why you looked at him? Why you got upset? Continue, nothing happened, just continue. Right? But there we will get angry. There we get angry. And don't know, some Greek words, German words, everything will come up. But the time where we're supposed to get angry, our baligh son, he is sleeping through Fajr. Our baligha daughter, she is sleeping through Fajr. That time there is no anger. At most, what we'll do? Tell the wife. Hey, must wake him up. Not right this. Must wake him up. Or go by his Hibz Ustad. Must talk to him. Must talk to him. Don't tell him I said anything. Don't tell him. There we become wumps.
We got no courage at all. We become afraid of our children. So there we become gutless. On the road, that fellow cut me. I don't even know what size he is. I don't know anything. He's a wrestler, boxer, what he is, I don't know. But I'm shouting from here, you know. I'm taking off. So much anger. But here the child is sleeping through Fajr namaz. Not one word. I can't say anything. At most, go tell his Hibz Ustad. And tell him, but don't tell him I said. Don't tell him I said anything. There'll be world war in the house. Don't tell him I said. So the anger to be used in the wrong place. The anger is supposed to be for Allah. When Allah's hukam is being broken, then we're supposed to get angry. But then, the anger needs to be controlled. Even though I must get angry, but it needs to be controlled. In this circumstances, how much anger did Allah Pak allow me to show? I must only show that much. If Allah Pak never allow me to show the anger, I mustn't show. So this anger needs to be brought. If anger is too little, today we worry about our thyroid. We got underactive thyroid or overactive thyroid. We got low sugar or high sugar. Low pressure, high pressure. You know, you have to bring it all into equilibrium. You have to take dawa, do this, do that, bring equilibrium. If the thyroid is underactive, the body doesn't function properly. If it's overactive, you can have a stroke. Doctors will tell you all these things. Right? Now these things what make up the ruh, are we worried about bringing that in equilibrium? That this ghadab of mine, my wife, I can just let her have it. Take off with her, 1 minute. And over what? Small, small things. Sometime, you know, people, I don't like too many dawats. But one day I went to one house for one dawat. The man of the house, the way he is taking off with the children have to serve, right? Now they're serving, they're bringing the dishes, they're coming now. What more can they do? Now he is so copying them on. That table don't have this. This table don't have that. Take it. Bring that. Then you can hear him in the kitchen now. He is taking off there in the kitchen also. Now see, this dawat here, what barakat going to come in this kind of dawat? This man is giving dawat. Everybody is telling him shabash. The wife, bichari, she is drinking her tears there. The way he's swearing and taking off, shouting. The children, you think they happy any mehman came here? They upset the man. Because the man doesn't know how to control his anger. Doesn't know how to control. He thinks he's doing wonders. But he doesn't know how to control his anger. With our staff sometime. Anybody can have a bad day. Now all of that fellow, he grazed the car. If we grazed it, we'll blame every other driver. Yeah, what happened? You know what happened. We make excuse. But the driver grazed it. Khalas. So our anger comes out all the wrong things. But Allah Pak's ahkam are being broken. There is no anger. The daughter wants to have her wedding all upside down according to kuffar customs. Now you are very close to the Moni Sahib also. You got your Jamaat Satis too. You got your Khanka Satis too. By them what you say? You know, mother and daughter now. Just leave it now, you know. They're their own government now. Now what happened to all your courage and anger and everything at that time? Can't put our foot down, nothing. So this anger is all upside down. So we have to work on that. Then is shahwat. The fourth thing is a shahwat, person's desire. So the shahwat also is very important. You have to have shahwat. If there was no shahwat, the human race will be extinct. If there's no desire, the human race will be extinct. If there's no desire, we'll all be anorexic.
Because you need a desire to eat. The body feels there's a desire to eat, so you need to eat. There is a desire to drink something. You are thirsty, the desire to drink something, so you have to drink something. There is a man has got a desire, so he gets married. So whatever the desire is, there is a desire to live in a home, a desire to wear clothing. If there is no desire, there is no shahwat, you won't be able to function in the dunya. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this desire. But the desire also has to be brought in a balance. It should be brought in a balance. The eye is desirous of seeing so many things. Our Azmah Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, he mentioned that the sickness of misusing the gaze, is such a sickness that if a person, he has to be told that 99 beauties, we have paraded them in front of you. There are only one left now. So leave that one out. He said, no, bring that. Why must leave that one out? Must see that one also. Why must leave that one out? Even if he saw 99 too, but he'd want to see that other one also. That's the guna of the eyes. But Allah Ta'ala is telling us to protect the gaze, not to look. And today with this cell phone, then the best of us are looking too. Because before, if you went to the Maulana's house, the Maulana can't have a TV. The person is an alim, he can't be having a TV in his house. It was an understood thing. A man was involved in tabligh, he can't have a TV in his house. Because he changed his life. If you change your life, that means the TV is out. The first thing to leave the house was the television, had to go. The person got taluk with the sheikh, he can't have a TV in his house. There's a dajjal box. But now we all got it in our pocket. So now we got it in our pocket, and what we're watching to, nobody can see. One friend of mine, he said, Maulana, you must put the screen on your phone, to screen protector, to protect the phone. So he said, no, give me your phone, I'll send it, they put the screen protector. So I told him, all right. So he's telling me, Maulana, you want a private screen protector. Private screen. I said, but what's that private screen? He said, no, if you're sitting there, and nobody else can see what you're looking at. So the businessman, he'll say, no, I'm busy with my banking, nobody must see how much I got. So I need private. Now Modi Sahib, he said, no, I've got a lot of people's sensitive information on my Islami correspondence and everything, but nobody must see, I've got neither see. Only Allah knows whether that's the truth. We're sitting with our phone, I don't know what we're looking at. So this is all that shahwat, isn't it? We can't control that shahwat. But that shahwat needs to be controlled. And then we need the adal. Adal needs to govern all of this. Adal must govern all of this. Right? And over and above everything, that means this ruh now is made up of these five things. Ilm, aqal, ghadab, shahwat, adal. These five things, they make up this ruh. Like how the physical body has got a head, torso, then we've got our lower body, we've got our hands. So the ruh is made up of these five things. Now this human body, if we just leave it, it will deteriorate. Like that, the ruh also, if it is just left, if it is not given its food, is not given the tilawat of Quran Sharif, is not given dhikrullah, is just going to deteriorate. And if it doesn't stay away from harmful things, then too is going to be a problem. So this is the positive and the negative. One is those commands of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnat of Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that we have to make amal upon. One is the prohibitions, what Allah Ta'ala has prohibited us from, what Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited us from, we have to stay away from it. Then this ruh will be healthy. This ruh will be healthy. Understand? So we have to pay attention to this ruh. More attention than we paying to this physical body. Because the physical body, it is a conveyance to take us till the qabr. Till the qabr. After that, its job is over. The ruh is the thing that is going to journey. The ruh is going to journey. Allah will put it in another conveyance, is going to journey. And in Jannat also, the ruh is going to go. And then Allah Pak will give it that Jannati body. So Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Brothers, really, you make dua for me, I make dua for you. That there are so many things in our lives. I am not talking about those who are ignorant of deen. I am talking about those of us whom Allah Ta'ala is giving us deeni ilm. Whether it's through jamaat work, whether it's through khanka, whether it's through some formal studies or whatever. But there are a lot of things in our life that we're not changing. We're just going with the flow, carrying on, carrying on. No, we have to change. And when we go to make the change, we are going to get some flack. But the sifat of the believer is, لَا يَخَفُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَانِ. He doesn't fear the reproach of the reproacher. He knows what he has to do. He knows which direction he needs to go. And he goes with hikmat, with pyar, with love. He explains to his family with hikmat, with love. Right? Doesn't go and start fighting like a military sergeant. But with hikmat and with love. But the hikmat and love doesn't mean now must tolerate the wrongs. No, I need to put my foot down on the wrongs. It has to stop somewhere. And if we are unsure of how to go about doing it, then we must take advice from our ulama, ask them that this problem, that problem. I will just conclude with this one incident. Maulana Isa Sahab said to me, stop 25 past, otherwise we'll delay Isha. He said, we'll make Isha later. We don't want to make Isha later. This one incident we'll conclude. There was a young man, you know, he came to sit for itikaf once in one masjid, he sat for itikaf. So, he is mentioning to the anim there, that you know what, the big problem in my house is the TV. The big problem in my house is the TV. I came to sit for itikaf now, only now I'm realizing how the TV is contaminating my mind. It's the first time for so many days, I didn't watch TV. So he's saying, you know, I'm making dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah must rid me of this thing. But my wife and children, they caught up in the same thing. So I don't know, now you need to advise me how to get out of this thing. My late father, he was wed to Hazrat Imam Masoola Rahmatullahi. We were living in Ladysmith at the time. So whatever Islahi questions he needed on the turn, then it was with Dr. Hansa Sahab Rahmatullahi. So at that time, we had TV in our house and Dallas was those days, you know. The old people were all watching Dallas. So my father had made up his mind, he's not going to watch TV anymore. The mother is still watching. The mother said, all right, I won't watch anything, but I must only watch Dallas. So he was advised that you don't watch. You stay in the room. You don't watch. She wants to only watch the Dallas, leave her. So one day, she went to watch the Dallas, she fell off to sleep. She missed the whole episode. So she came in the room, told my father, said, you know what, throw this TV out. So I missed the one episode. Now there's no maja in this thing. Allah Pak made it like that. He may have been making dua, the sheikh may have been making dua. Duas, we underestimate the power of dua. So this young man, he is now a similar problem, you see now, you know what, this is the situation. So he was advised by you here, you in Allah's house, still you've got few more odd nights, you cry to Allah, and you make up your mind that you're not going to do it. After you go home now, see how to work with the family.
This man came on Eid day to the masjid. After they came out from itikaf, everything, came on Eid day to the masjid and he's crying. He said, Maulana, I went home after the moon was sighted. I went home and my family met me, you know, entered the house. Everybody's happy to see me, you know, embracing and all that. And he said that I saw something in the passage, like when you enter the house now, I saw something there. I don't know what it is. I don't want to ask too much. I just came now. So then we went, we had a meal. And then I came for Isha. I went back home. So after that, when I went in the room, the wife is telling me, you know, you mustn't get upset. But myself and the children, we were discussing this thing and we said, we don't watch TV anymore. You went for itikaf. How can we be watching TV? So from the day you went, we took the TV out from its place. We covered it up and we left it here in the passage. So we said, when you come, we said, it's left up to you now. If you still want to watch, then that's your prerogative. And if you don't want to watch, then we can throw it out. You see, but a start has to be made somewhere. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka shukru kulluh. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا واهد الناس جميعا اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في غزة وفي السودان وفي صوماليا وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المجاهدين في أرض الإسلام اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء ونسألك برد العيش بعد الموت ونسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين.